الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله آل الله ولعنة دائمة على عداوتهم أداء الله من يوم عداوتهم إلى يوم لقاء الله أما بعد قال قرآن المجيد وفرقان الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد ووالد وما ولد لقد خلقنا الانسان في كبد. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the merciful, we continue with our last discussion about the journey from Zulmat to Noor, which is the journey of salvation. And to build this ark of salvation, the base which is required to build any ark is finding your existential reality. First step is the self-revolution. First step for salvation. When we feel this, that we have found ourselves, when this vijdan comes in us, then this journey starts. And as I said before in my last session, that human being is lost. He has to find himself and reach his reality. We have got false assumptions about what we are. We think we are the skin, which we are not. We are below the skin, the reality is. And that reality will come out on the day of judgment, when people will see us, when others will see us. We will run away from each other because that reality might be horrible if we do not build that reality ourselves over here. Once we find the reality, we reach that point that I am actually human being is bilistitat. Allah has created me with the ability to become human being. I am not man. I am not human. I have to make myself. I have to first find that seed and then make myself. And to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me with religion and with prophets. And in the absence of prophets, the waris of prophets, the waris al-anbiya, they came, the ulama. It's their responsibility to take us out from the Zulmat to Noor, make us realize that we are lost, make us find our existential reality, find that seed, the ability, and then nurture that seed to turn into the tree of human being, which gives its samrat and its fruit. But this movement, this journey which man has to do of perfection, which is union with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he sacrifices, destroys his self into the real existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this journey of perfection is a journey of liqa'ullah, the journey of union, where man turns into khalifatullah, becomes a representative of Allah. But this movement is not easy. It is very stressful. This is the way Allah has created man. And this reality is expressed very beautifully by the Quran, that what kind of stress man is under and what is that journey which man has to do. The real calamity on men comes out from the Quran at several instances. But this is one complete surah, which is one chapter, which primarily addresses this issue. And that is Surah Balad, Surah number 90. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The surah starts very beautifully. La uqsimu bihadal balad wa anta hillun bihadal balad. I swear by this city. First is Allah swearing. I swear by the city of Mecca. Wa anta hillun bihadal balad. I swear in this city because you are present in this city. I swear by this town as you reside in this town, you the Prophet. This Mecca is just bricks and walls. It is you. It's not because there are pagans over there. It's not because there are Quraysh over there. It's not because of them. They should not think that Allah is giving importance to this city because of them. No, it's because of this holy soul of the Prophet. You know why a righteous alim is considered as a blessing in a society? If a righteous alim is present in a community, in a society, who is really a representative of the Prophet, Allah swears by that particular town. That's what I said, if you remember, in my few lectures before, in English and Urdu both, that Pakistan should not be worried from corona crisis. Yes, the stress will come, but that nation will fight. Why Iran came out of it? Why? Because such personalities were present inside Iran, the supreme leader Ayatollah Khamenei, Hafizullah Ali. Because of these persons present over there, there is special rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these places. And Allah swears in this surah, just to show the importance over here, Allah is giving significance to this point, that what I am going to tell you now, O you people who are the addressees, O you human being who are the addressees, listen carefully, listen very attentively. I am swearing, just to make this point clear, I am swearing as a pledge. Allah doesn't need to swear. Allah, whatever says is truth. When Allah takes a pledge, wal asra innal insan, when Allah takes a pledge, the matter is of highly significant and importance, where you need to concentrate. And he takes four pledges over here. First, balad, la aqsimu bihadal balad, the city, the town, the Mecca. Wa anta hillun bihadal balad, and you as an inhabitant. Wa walidan wa ma balad, by the father and him. Those who build this Kaaba over here, those the father and the son who made this Kaaba, which is Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail. All this is the progeny of Ibrahim and Ismail over here. After taking the four promises over here, then comes the most important matter. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي قَبَدْ. Certainly, verily, we have created men to be in travail, in distress. Now this verse is addressing human being. The addressee of the Quran is human being. To that man who is under ignorance, who is under misunderstanding about himself, that I am a skin, I should take care of my skin, I need brands on my body. To that man Allah is addressing over here. لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created you in kabad. Now I'll explain what is the meaning of kabad. Then you will understand how important this matter is. We are concerned about things which are outside us. We are not concerned about the stress in which Allah has created. Allah is taking four promises and telling you that we have created human being in distress. Don't think we have created you in a comfort zone. Don't think we have created you with a silver spoon. No. We have created with some certain speciality. And that speciality is that we have made him in kabad. Kabad in Arabic means liver. In Urdu we say jigar. You eat liver, no? You roast liver, you make barbecue of liver, you make all that, what you call the tawa of liver, and all these things with kabad, liver of. Allah says we have created a liver, kabad. What is the relationship between men, liver, and we are translating it as distress? Let's try to understand this. At times in literature, when you use a word, it has got a metaphorical meaning. Like you say, like today for Corona, people say the hand of America is involved in Corona. What do you mean by hand of America? Did Trump took Corona in his hand and threw it inside China and Iran and Europe? No. Hand of America means they are involved. It is not the physical hand. Since hand is used to perform major acts by body, it is the most active organ in actions of human being. It is used as a reference to depict some actions. If someone has done something, it was not just his hand, his mind, his thinking, his intention, his willpower, everything was involved, but we say his hands were involved in it. Because hand is the major element which does something, that organ, that limb, which does something for human being. At times when your finger gets cut, you say my hand is wounded. But it's only finger which is cut. Because finger is part of the hand and hand is the main identity, you refer it to hand over here. Here kabad, which means liver, translation is liver only. The literal translation is liver. When you do the proper ta'wil interpretation, it doesn't mean liver. It is translated as distress. Because it makes no sense if you say, no, man is created in liver. Man is not created in liver. He is created from a sperm. He becomes into a fetus. Then all the organs come up. Liver is one part of human being's body. So here this liver is not like a literal translation. Kabad over here doesn't mean literally translated as liver. Because liver is a very important organ of a body with a certain special functions. Many things are associated with the liver. In Urdu, it's better to understand in Urdu. Urdu we use the word jigar. And we also use some metaphors, some proverbs with jigar. Like we say, mera jigar zakhmi hai. My liver is wounded. In English, we don't say my liver is wounded. But Urdu, we say, when someone hurts you emotionally, when someone gives you a pain, who is very close to you, you get hurt, you say, my jigar is hurt, my liver is hurt. This is because emotions are faculties of soul, but they have an effect on body. They have an effect on body. Like when you become angry, the color of your face change. When you are in tension, tense, your sleep, your chemicals which give generate sleeps, when they stop, they don't work. The system doesn't work and you don't feel sleepy. So there are effects of faculties of soul which come on the body, reverse effect. Same thing when something happens to your body, you get cut, the soul feels the pain. Similarly, when there is an effect on the soul, the body also feels, gets an effect on it. And medically also, it is proven that there are certain things, certain emotions which are directly having an impact on liver. And even other way also medical science says that if person gets into depression, there could be a problem with his liver. Liver can put someone into depression. They test the liver. Why? Because liver is connected to certain emotions like sympathy, depression, passion. Liver is a factory which produces certain bile and enzymes which plays a crucial role in maintaining the equilibrium or the balance in the body. It's an important role. Like there are certain things that are effective on the body, like tension effects on the body are there, like sugar. Tension and diabetic are related. Because of stress, you can develop high sugar. Now, tension is a mental feeling, but it affects the blood. It affects the glucose inside the blood. It's like there are many diseases which come up due to tension. Your heart also fails. The blood circulation gets blocked due to tension. This effect of soul is coming on the body in the system. Similarly, liver is effective on by many things. Liver is that organ which takes all the pressure of many things come on the soul, the pressure on the human self which it comes, it physically lends on the liver. Hence, liver is the organ which takes all the stress, the distress, the pain and trouble. Hence, the word kabar, liver, is used to represent high degree of pressure, stress, travail, distress and trouble over here. So when Quran is telling, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي kabar, it is telling you that we created human being in what? In distress, in stress. So we have made man such that he will have to pass through difficulties, hardship, troubles and pains. And this is the speciality only for men and not for any other creation. And this stress, it is not, Quran is not telling that if there is a stress on the organ of the body, it will affect your soul. It is telling the reverse way, that men whose existential reality is not his body, as I've been discussing before, it's not his body. The stress, when it comes on the existential reality, the soul of human being, it has an effect on the body. So the pain and the stress which Quran is mentioning over here by putting the word kabar is not physical stress. The distress and the pain is not that pain which today we have in our day-to-day life, like no money, no job, not getting married, or after getting married, problem of house, whatever. The pain which is referred over here is different. That pain is the hardship, stress, which that comes during an act or work. The pain, the stress, the word kabad represents that when you have certain things going on, certain actions you are involved in it, you come under emotions and stress and everything, then the pain which you suffer, that is that distress. The Quran is telling we have placed men on a path where he will get tired and weak. That path we have put in. It is not that his relatives die or financial losses come and he will be tired. No, this is not the meaning here. We have created him in pain. This means we have induced pain, troubles and distress in this form of creation, which is human being. What is being said over here is that man has to put efforts to reach his purpose of creation, and he has to bear hardships in reaching this purpose. to reach that fragile, I said the movement which man has to do, that movement is stressful. Like animals don't have this problem. A cow might have difficulty. The only difficulty a cow might have not to get grass. But there is no difficulty for a cow to turn into a cow. It is a cow and it will remain as a cow. A sheep is a cow, it will remain as a cow. But for men, the biggest difficulty is that he has to turn that seed into a tree bearing fruits. He has to turn into a human being, and to turn into that human being, he has to go through difficulties. His path is that of distress over here. The point that needs high degree of attention is this over here. But unfortunately, we have ignored this point, that we are created in distress. We are into distress over here. We leave the motorway. We were on a kept on a motorway. We left the motorway and are spending time on the service areas and the rest areas. We have moved from the path of humanity onto the rest areas where we want only comfortable life. This is why today we are not facing many difficulties in life. When even small difficulties come like corona, entire world goes into panic. The real difficulties and calamities of life is not corona. Quran is telling we have created you in distress. We have not created you in corona. We have not created you in virus and bacteria. The real distress is on this journey which you have to do towards humanity. This is because we are not on the path of humanity, we don't feel that stress. If we get on that path, the prophetic path, the path on which Awliya was, you see how stressful they were. Why would the Prophet cry? The Prophet would moan and cry, and Allah tells the Prophet, "Oh Prophet, relax. Even if you die, they will not change." This was the stress on the Prophet, that I am putting so much efforts, but still they don't believe. This is the stress under which these Awliya Allah go through. That what has happened? Our Ustad Jawad Naqvi Hafizullah Alayh, sometimes he quotes that, that so much, in so many different forms I try to tell this community, come towards the path of Allah, adopt the systems of Allah, but still they don't listen. It's like a quagmire, you keep on putting things inside, it just goes and sinks and sinks and sinks inside. This is because we are not on the path of becoming human. We are on a different path, we are on the rest areas. You go to a rest area, when you're driving on a motorway, you're under stress. There are vehicles coming at 80, 90, overtaking. You need to be alert. You need to be very alert. You'll be looking in the mirror. You cannot be. But when you're in a rest area, you are safe. No difficulty. Only difficulty is what? Oh, Costa is not there. Starbucks is here. I like only Costa coffee. Let me go to the next station over there. Oh, this rest area, there is no toilet over here. This is the stress. These are small, small. These are not stresses. It's like this. Corona is a small thing. Entire world has gone into a panic. Panic. Okay, there are different factors why they've gone into panic. And we'll come to that in our further discourses. That how taghuts control a society from the perspective of Quran. Don't worry. Whatever is happening over here is all present in the Quran. Nothing is happening outside the Quran. Nothing is happening outside the Quran. And when you open the Quran, you will see what it is saying. Like we're opening one part over here. As in Urdu, there's a poem of Iqbal. Farishte se behtar hai insaan banna, magar isme padti hai mehnat zyada. The most tiring work in this world is to become human. Most tiring, most difficult. Even to become an angel is easy, because angel is not having a willpower. He's not having a choice to decide between what is wrong and what is wrong and select the right and ignore the wrong. No, so it's very easy to become an angel. To become an angel, today you can become an angel very easily in this lockdown. Lockdowns can make you angel, they cannot make you human being. You sit inside one room, switch off your TV, don't look at any filthy things, don't watch any media, switch off your phone, take your musalla, tasbih, isolated, just keep on doing salat day and night, 1,000 units of sakah, salat, 1,000 units of namaz and all these things. And then see, after 6 weeks of lockdown, you will come out like an angel, like in Farishta. No sin you have done, self-isolation, you have not even seen your wife for 6 weeks and 8 weeks. Absolutely alone, you will turn out like an angel. Lockdown can make you angels, but lockdown cannot make you human beings. To become human being, you have to go through that stress. It's the most tiring thing in this world to become human being. To become human being is not in its ethical sense. Not in its ethical sense, that is to behave well, do good, speak good. No, in the Quranic and philosophical sense, to reach that level of Khalifatullah, to reach that level of humanity, to disconnect from their desires, disconnect from the world, and being in the world, being disconnected from the world. Not disconnectment, go in isolation and lockdown. Not that. That is where you reach the level of humanity. We are not facing hardship because I said we are on the rest area. All our concerns are to enjoy our life. When coronavirus comes, it disturbs our entertainment in our life. That is what. Today people in UK, US, they are fighting. They're coming, so many news are coming. Someone is spitting on the cop, someone is murdering. Is why? Because they're frustrated. Why they are frustrated? The bars are closed, the pubs are closed, the clubs are closed. They don't want to enjoy. Because today, like UK is the Islamic state of United Kingdom now. Hukumat-e-Islami-e-Britannia it has become now. No pubs, no bars, no discos. Even women have to put hijab, niqab on their face, the veil, the masks. All this is niqab which has come. Corona has done this wonder which even Islamic revolution of Iran couldn't do in 40 years in the Western countries. But this virus has done it. They made them proper Islamic over here. So when something comes on our enjoyment, on our entertainment in our life, the pleasures of our life, when that gets disturbed, we think it's a calamity over here. This is the reason that our hardships are not human hardships. Our hardships are animalistic hardships. Like we don't have electricity, we get into problem. When there is inflation, we find it. These are not human hardships. Human hardships are those on the path which man is treading towards humanity. The real calamities are those calamities and not corona. Corona, if it comes, if it infects someone, 14 days, either he gets cured, which means he becomes immune, fit and fine, now it will not affect again. If you see, I have not come across any repeat corona case that someone was infected, he got cured and again got infected with corona. No, that is not happening. That is not happening. Which means the antibodies are building and the immune systems built up. Or after 14 days he will die. That's it. 14 days, that's it. Either you become immune or you die. So it's not a big hardship. Death is anyhow going to come. And if you give proper treatment, the person can be safe also. Now, after going through this verse, the next verse is also very important. The Quran says, أَيَحْسَبُ أَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدًا. Does he think, does men think that no one has power over him? Misunderstanding, as I said. Quran clarifies the misunderstandings in which human being is. This is a misunderstanding of human being that yahsabu. Yahsabu means misunderstanding. Do you have a doubt? Are you in suspicion? Men think that no one can do any harm to him. There is no power above. Ana rabbukum al-ala. I am the most powerful. I have money, I have wealth, I have council benefits, I have house, I have everything. There's no power over me. But you see, drops of water, breeze, even mosquitoes can cause big harms to human being. Now this small virus is an example. How much big harm it can cause to human being and take his life. Allah can give power to a mosquito to bite someone and he can die of malaria or dengue fever. Allah is the one who is giving power to this coronavirus. I said in my lecture before on spiritual immunization that who has given power to this virus and who has given the power to the white blood cells inside the body to fight this virus. It is Allah. But men doesn't understand this. Quran is telling that you don't you understand? Do you think that there is no one has power over him? Do you think this? Corona is a blessing. Why? Because it is getting us out of this misunderstanding that there is a power above human being. Mankind is scared that who will save them, who will take them out. Their states are helpless, their medical machinery is helpless. Now everyone is turning towards Allah. So is Corona not a blessing? That we are realizing that the supreme power is Allah and not these people, not these advanced medical systems and technologies. Then the next verse. I'm going forward because there's a lot to talk about here. Yaqulu ahlaktu ma'alan lubda. He shall say, men shall say, I have squandered, I have wasted much wealth. Certain traits of men are being showed over here. After Allah takes the promise and says you are creating it in distress, then Allah says, though in distress in this path of journey of humanity, man has this measured understanding that he has no power over him. And then he says, I have squandered, I have wasted much of wealth. This verse is about those people whom, when they are told to spend some money in the way of Allah or do some good deeds, they would respond boastfully that, yeah, we have spent so much in the way of Allah. We have done so much. We have made this mosque, this center, the names of the trustees, the name of the Jamaat and all these things. But Allah says, they have not spent anything. And if they had given something to anyone, even if they have spent, they have only given it for personal intentions and hypocritical aims, nothing else. Many people do charity, but to show off, for personal gains. This is what this verse is telling over here. He says, man gives little at times and boasts and thinks, I've done big. Oh, we see in the university, oh yes, chip in 10 pounds, 20 pounds. Are you earning 10 pounds in a month? You earn 2,000 pounds in a month when it comes to religious service, 10 pounds. Check how much percentage of income we spend in the way of Allah. I was in one of the programs and I felt very bad and very sad over there. Very sad. Because of the respect of those people, I didn't say anything over there. They were telling that they rent a place and they had to pay some rent over there. I don't want to take the figure over here because then it will directly go on someone. They will know that I'm talking about them. Some rent they had to pay for that particular center. And the leader of that group was telling, I think we should charge a ticket, like people go to sport. We should charge a ticket for people to attend majalis. And how much the ticket should be? £1. £1 per person we can charge, so many people attend our program, we will cover the cost. For this you have gone to the West. You chip in £1 to do a program. This is the biggest calamity which we have. Bigger than Corona is this calamity. That to take the name of Allah, we have to chip in £1. You give little and then say, I have done such a big thing. I've given £1. I've given £5. I've given 10. I remember a few years back, I think a decade back, in the UK, there was a meeting about supporting the Shohada of Pakistan when there was mass Shia killings going on. The meeting was organized by some brothers. The suggestion which came out in the meeting was, we should contribute £5 each, 10, 15, £5 each and send it to the Shohada. And the person who gave the suggestion of £5 was living in a house whose rent was £3,000. This is what Quran is telling. Yaqulu ahlaktu malan ma'lan lubda. After giving little, he thinks, I've given so much, I've wasted. This is the attribute trait of a man. You chip in £10, £20, online, website, where the name also comes, so-and-so has given £10, so-and-so has given in £20. The Pakistani labor can contribute more than this. He can contribute his 1 month's salary if it comes. You will see, if God forbid, if Corona increases in Pakistan, you will see how this nation will come out and contribute in the way of Allah. See what they will spend on other things. Today people are surprised when they see Jamia Urwatul Wuska, that why such a big place has come up. They are working for some agency, maybe Iran is helping them. Why? Because you fall in this category, you are in this calamity. Yaqulu ahlaktu malan labada. You have squandered your wealth, you have given little, and then you say we have given so much. But those who have really given so much, they have made this place. It's people who have contributed, not hypocrites who give little and then take a big name. Not those. This is the actual calamity on men which Quran is referring over here. Similarly, at times, man gives and then says, I wasted my money. I hope I should have saved it for my bad times. Ayasabu allam yarahu ahada. The next question, the next misunderstanding. Does he think that no one sees him? Quran is telling that you give little and then you boast. Allah knows how much you have in your bank. Allah knows where all you are squandering your wealth. Allah knows how much you are spending on your dinner parties. Allah knows how much you are spending on your branded clothes. Allah knows how much you are spending on your buy-to-lets. Allah knows how much you are spending on your multiple cars. Allah knows how much you are spending on your holiday cottages. Allah knows all these things. Allah knows how much you are spending by sending your children in filthy Western private schools. How much you're spending over there. But when it comes to giving in Allah, you first of all, you don't give. If you give, you give little. And then you say, I have given so much. Ahsabu ayahsabu an lam yarahu ahada? Does he think that no one sees him? Allah sees you. You don't need to present an audit report. You don't need to cheat the tax, the government department, and I have only made this much profit. Allah knows how much profit you have made. Allah knows where you have spent all these things. This is your misunderstanding which Quran is telling over there, that you think no one is watching you, but Allah is watching you everywhere. What you are giving and for what intention, Allah knows everything. How much is under your sleeves, how much is under your pocket, how much is under your what bank balance, and what you are doing, where you are wasting, is all known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn wa lisanan wa shafatayn wa hadaynahu najdayn fala aftahmal akaba wa ma adraka ma akaba. Now comes the most important part which links this kabad to najdayn. Quran is telling what? That have we not given you two eyes with which you can see? Have we not given you tongue? Have you not given you two lips so that you can control your tongue? Keep it inside. Have you not given all these things? وَحَدَيْنَاهُ الْنَجْدَيْنِ. We have given you eyes with the eyelids, you can close, you can open. We have given you tongue with the lips which you can close, you can open. We do many things with your lips. And we have shown you the two paths, the two uphill paths. نَجْدَيْنِ, نَجْدَيْنِ. نَجْدَيْنِ comes from the word najd. Najd means a place that is at a higher level or uphill, uphill path, uphill place, or going something by going upward. Allah says, we have shown you two uphill ways. They are both tough. Even when you are driving or walking, uphill paths are always tough. When you drive uphill, you have to drive in lower gears because the car also needs more energy to go up. And if your car is having a low CC, it might not even go on certain mountains and uphill paths. To go upwards is always tough. Going down is very easy. Going down is very easy. What are these najdain? What are these two paths? Taqwa and fujur. The path of divine protection, the path of humanity, the path of perfection, and the path of fujur, transgression. The path of staying within divine limits and the path of exceeding divine limits. The path of khair and shar, the path of good and evil. On the both the path he has to go with difficulties. They are uphill path. Even if you want to do evils, it is not easy. Those who have created this coronavirus, you see how much they have, the efforts they have put to create this evil. Those who are creating social crisis, those who kill people, all these evils also need efforts, hardships. Two uphill paths Allah has shown you. Two uphill paths. Fala, fala, aqtaham al akaba. Akaba means what? Yet he has not embarked that uphill path of Aqaba. Out of the two paths, one path is Aqaba. Aqaba means that path or a valley or a narrow path that turns across and goes upward. You see mountains, when you drive on a mountain, it goes around the mountain. One path is this. One path is you do mountaineering, climbing. Where you don't take that route, you go on the rocks and climb up. Okay? But one path is this path. This path is not a short path. It is a very long path which goes across the mountain and it goes up. It's a natural narrow path on the mountain. Naturally made path. You don't make a path over here. Natural path by which you go. Allah has made in His creation these natural paths on the mountain on which men can walk. Iqtiham, fala aqtahama. Fala aqtahama. Aqtaham aftahama. Sorry, fala aftahama. This aqtahama. This iqtiham means what? Means to jump. To jump on this path. Allah is telling, why is man not jumping on Aqaba? Why is he not jumping on this path? This path, he has to jump on this path. The path which is going uphill. The path which is going, which is Aqaba, which is going around with hardships. It will take me to the peak of mountain where there is Najd, a plateau, a green land over there. Why? Because some people are cautious. Some are very hasty. They jump. They take the risk. Oh, let's go. They see a mountain. Oh, let's go up. Some are afraid. No. It will take a long time. I will get tired. I can't go. Men, a trait of human being is that A trait of human being is that man does not jumps in that tough path. Whereas he has to jump on the tough path that is going uphill on the peak of mountain, which is the peak of humanity. So who will go on this? Who will jump on this path? Who will jump on this path? The one who has courage, not those who are cowards. The Western systems, even in the East, these education systems, these Western systems, they have dominated so much on us that we have become so delicate, mummy daddy boys. Mummy daddy, these kids you see, they are like chicks. So delicate, so weak, so timid. You expect them to jump on Aqaba? They will not. The systems have made them so much. A child falls in the garden, gets a small bruise on his hand, on her hand. Next day goes to the school. The teacher, we call the parent, did you hit him? Did you hit him? It's a small bruise. It's natural. The child plays. He would fall. He will get this. They are making you so coward, so weak, taking all the courage out of these children. All the courage. That attribute is this, that we are this system, these systems develop this quality and trait inside us from the childhood itself, that we become very, very weak, very, very weak. You see, in the Western system, you tell them for any program in a weekday, no, I come from work at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we have dinner, we have to sleep, next day morning kids have to go to school, so kids should not be disturbed, we can't have a program, I can't meet you after 8 o'clock, my kids go to school, to the room and sleep. If they have a little noise, they can wake up. This will disturb their sleep. This is the timidness which is there. Oh, everything on the weekend. 1 hour program on the weekend. That too should not exceed 1 hour, 40, 45 minutes. That's enough for me. You don't have courage. We don't even have courage. I said we have to go towards knowledge. The courage is not there. We are not courage. And cowardliness doesn't mean that when an armed person comes to attack you, you don't run away. No, there are many other fields of cowardliness. We do not take the uphill paths towards humanity because we don't have the courage. In our education system, if you see, people go and learn those sciences where they will get more benefit. The scope is more. Where is the industry going towards? Where will I make money? We show the path of bread. To get 2 pieces of bread, we decide the education field over here. This culture only teaches us this materialism over here. This culture doesn't teach us to take courageous path and go on the uphill path to become a human being. The path of humanity. The creation which Allah made as Khalifa, as a leader, turned into a labor. Today it is digital labor. Now the world is moving towards, with these lockdowns and with the behavioral changes, what is going to happen? We are all going to turn into digital labor. First we were office laborers, polished laborers, labor in coat and tie, going in the morning to job, coming back in the evening. Now no need to go. Now you can be in your trousers, in your shorts, in your t-shirt, and you just become digital labor sitting at home. Why? Why we have become labor? Why this leader? Why this imam has become gulam? Why? Because of the cowardly decisions which we have taken. A nice story of Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina had a student by the name Bahmaniyar. Bahmaniyar became a very, very well-known philosopher in philosophy. The story is that Ibn Sina was passing through a market of blacksmith. It was early in the morning when the shops were opening. When the shops were opening, he went to one blacksmith shop. There was a to burn that fuel. What the blacksmith would do is, one person burns it, they will go and bring some charcoal from there, put it in their furnace, and that will also start to burn. So there was a young child of 8-9 years. This blacksmith told that child that, can you please, this was his son, go and get the charcoal from few shops. One shop is open over there, go and get it from there. So he went to that shop. Ibn Sina was present at near that shop. He looked at it. This child said, any charcoal? The shop, the blacksmith over there at the shop said, do you have any container in which I can give you? Because charcoal is burning. The child said, no, I don't have container. What? He picked up some sand from the earth on his hand. He said, put it on this. Sand on the hand on top of that burning charcoal, and he carried in his hand comfortably and gave it to his father. Ibn Sina was very impressed with this person, with this boy. He says, what a courageous boy this boy is. He went to his father, convinced his father that give this child to me. I want to train this child. And then with after a lot of efforts, was father or the owner, I don't remember exactly. But he struck a deal with him, got this child, took him, Ibn Sina saw the ability inside the child, that this child is not born to become a servant in these shops. This child is born to become a student of philosophy. He is so courageous, because philosophy cannot be studied by everyone. You need courageous people to do that. The child is not born for technology. The child is born for ideology. Ibn Sina took this child and turned him into a big philosopher, Bahmanyar, who is counted amongst leading. These are the courageous decisions which people should take in our life. Today, women are afraid to tell their children to Hausa. You see, the Pakistanis who are living in the West, if you ask them to go back, oh, we go back to Pakistan, there is no electricity, there is no gas, there are so many crimes over there. There is no courage. Oh, what will we eat over there? Are 200 million people not eating over there? They're dying of starvation. How will we survive? Are 200 million people not surviving over there? Oh, my child will get a mosquito bite. No, your child will get a corona bite. No, save yourself. Where will he get? No, my child will not get chicken and chips over there. He will not get mineral water over there. The Quran is telling all this only. Why don't you jump on the path of success and prosperity where there are hardships? Akaba is that path that goes towards peak. And iftaham and iftahama means to jump over there. You are happy with the downhill path. Jump on those paths of success which will take you to the best stations. Jump on those paths. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَعَ الْأَقْمَاءَ أَقْبَى. And what will make you comprehend what this uphill road is? You will not understand so easily. How will you comprehend? How will you know that you are on this path? فَقَّنْ رَقْبَةٍ. How? When you set a slave free. See? You know what is Aqaba? You know what is this uphill path? How do you know you are walking on this path? When you set a slave free, slave. To release a slave has to release a slave. I am a slave of my snuffs. I am a slave of my desire. We are all slaves of our desires. We are all slaves of this worldly life. And now Quran is telling me, if you want to jump on Aqaba, the uphill path of success to become a human being, you need to free a slave. There are no slaves. Oh, yeah, in this era, there are no slaves like at that time to free. What does it mean to free a slave? Raqab, the one who is under control of someone. The one who frees the slave. First free yourself, emancipate yourself. Free your generation from the slavery of the systems, the media, the culture in which they are. This is what the Quran is telling over here to you. If you want to go on the path of Aqaba, this is what you have to do. These are the examples and testifications of this path, of this uphill path. Then, aw atama, do ta'am, give food. When you are on the day of starvation, when you don't have anything, do infaq. Like in this era, in this time, when people are jobless, specifically in India, Pakistan, this is the time when you have to do Aqaba. Don't hoard that what will happen, I will not get, then what will happen if I give to someone else. No. Giving of the food and the day of starvation. Not giving when you are full, giving the leftovers to someone. No. Give when there is starvation everywhere. That is the uphill path. Yatiman za maqrabatan, to an orphan, giving a food to an orphan with whom you have relationship in your relatives. One who has no one on his head, go and support him. Aw miskinan za matrabatin. Or that poor person, that poor man who has no one to help him. Miskeen, grounded, flat, dissolution. Sakana, sakin, flat. He can't even stand on his own feet. Mizdaq here, if you take the corona patients who are suffering, who is going to jump? Who is going to do Aqaba on Najdain? Who is going to jump on Aqaba? The one who jump and take care of these corona patients. Help them taking risk of your life. Even if it risks your life, go and help them. This is what is Aqaba. This is what is Iqtaham. This is what is jumping on the uphill path towards humanity. As I told at that time, make quarantine centers. Make your mosque quarantine centers. Oh, no, if you open the mosque, something will happen, someone will die. No, make it to help people. Even if someone dies, he will be shaheed, at least he is saving many other lives over there. This was the uphill path. How many have the courage to do that? No one. Don't it? There's only one center in Pakistan, as I know. Maybe more will come up, inshallah. Maybe I don't know. But at least one I know in Lahore, which is making a big arrangement of 2,000 beds quarantine in the House-e-Ilmiya. Only one center. There might be others also. And inshallah, we hope many come up in this path and do jump on this Aqaba, on this uphill path. This is Qabr. This is Qabr. The distressful journey which man has to do come out of Zulmat. That is why it is said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي قَبْدَى. We have created man in distress. Because when you go the uphill path, you will be in troubles. If you want to go to the downhill path, take a U-turn into the valley where there is destruction. You can go to high streets, you can go to malls, you can go to cinema halls, you can go to fast food, you can go for tikka, you can go for everything and then still have a false feeling that I'm a Muslim even though I'm going to Nando's because there is a halal sign over there. Fine, you can have this false feeling. The path of success is that of hardships to reach the level of humanity. Hardship, those hardships which make me reach that level of humanity where I sacrifice for others even if it costs me my life. If we were also made in factories, then it would be very easy, but we are not made in factories. We have to make ourselves. We have to tread this difficult path. And then the next verse which says, Summa kana ma'a alladhina amanu, while being one of those who have faith and who enjoin others to patience and enjoins others to rahma, compassion, means even if you, it means those who are on this uphill path of humanity are not just alone. They are not only thinking about themselves. They think about others also. They bring them on this path. They bring them on this path where there is compassion. They also ask others to bear these hardships and do this journey with them. They also want others to come out of Zulmat. They strive to take them out. They bear all the criticism, abuses, social disconnections, social sanctions from the The mosque and centers closes their doors on them just because they want others also to do this uphill journey. They become isolated. But Allah doesn't keep them isolated. Allah sends their voice across the globe. Even in these centers, these boastful centers, prejudicial centers and organization shuts their door, Allah opens many doors for them. Because they want to enjoin others to patience, enjoin others to compassion over here. Like some mountain climbers, they take many others on the mountain to climb along with them. And this is the path. Ulaika ashabul yameen. Those who follow this uphill path, they are the ones successful. This is the path of Isar, a dangerous uphill path. You would never see, you know, you will never see a bird picks up the grain and puts it in the mouth of some other nest. The chicks, the children of bird in others' nest. No, she will only put in her own children's beak over there. But man does it. Man, Allah has given this ability that he can even take his own morsel and food and give it to others. That's what you recite in Surah Al-Ata. The way Fatima and Ali did this. They were on the uphill path of humanity. This is the path. This is the journey which Quran is inviting us to do. But it is stressful, distressful. Qabad over here. Qabad which is there over here. I remember, you know, when I was talking about a few months back that we need to take these generations out from this filthy media, education system, RSE and all these things. People were coming up with conspiracy theories against me. That what is he in? He's not even having young kids for whom he is concerned and trying to think being selfish. Why is he talking about others? Quran is telling this. If you are a mu'min, you will take others also on the path of salvation. You are not just concerned about yourself. Selfish people only think about themselves. They are not on that uphill path. And how can men do these things? With his intention and will. And they are the ones, Quran says, Ulaika ashabul maimana. These are the people of the right hand. The good ones are those who go uphill, which is stressful on soul, and take others also over there. They are maiman, they are the rightest. And for those who disbelieve in our communication, they are the people of the left hand. They are the one who are the accursed, they are the leftists, and their end is hell. Hence, the purpose of mentioning this Surah Balad is a very important point that Quran says that man in his creation itself has been created to be admirer of hardships and orientation towards distress. So do not worry about Corona. If you are a believer, this is one of the other tests for your humanity. Make it a stress for your humanity, not for your body. The major test is on your soul. The zulmat which you have to take and go on this uphill path over here. Inshallah, we will continue with the next next part of this discussion, talking about social zulmat caused by taghuts. Inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.